Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Simcast. I'm Matt Hunter, and alongside me, as ever now, Mr. Steve Wilkinson. Hello, Steve.
Hello there. Hello, hello.
Obi-Wan.
I seem to always have the high ground. Like, this is just
this is the way. How very topical. Anyway, enough of this tomfoolery and hijinks. Actually, in other news, the lion's coming to the house.
He is.
That I managed to secure one. I'm very
gorgeous
happy.
Gorgeous dog, guys. That's wonderful.
Happy. Dear listener, we're talking obviously because Steve and I are, as you may probably have heard from other shows, we are Warhammer geeks. I don't know what you might have not have done, because it's quite possible that stuff that's been cut out of previous shows for a random addition into a Christmas special. We're both Warhammer geeks, and I'm very excited because a new character model is coming out. A character model that, if you know anything about the game of Game of Thrones, looks very much like Sir Davos.
Yes.
In my humble opinion.
Yes, it does.
Some people say it looks like what's he called, the one who got shot on the toilet, Charles Dance, but I don't think it looks like Charles Dance, not so much. This doesn't really work very well when you talk about on radio, but anyway, but considering the appalling website experience that many of us had to endure to even attempt to get anything last weekend, is quite something. But you don't have to worry about this, Stephen, because you don't even collect contemporary stuff, do you?
No, I don't. I'm a wine connoisseur for specialist games. It's like sampling fine wines. That's where I'm at the moment.
Unfortunately, when you say sampling fine minis, that just makes you sound like a very, very strange car collector. you can share your nerdiness with us at Simcast Radio on Twitter using the hashtag SimcastRSL, and also on the Radio Show Listeners Collective on Facebook, because I'm calling it that this week. I think we're both a little excited this week. A lot's been going on, hasn't it? We're both a little excited because you get to geek out on some very cool technical stuff.
I do. I'm really excited about this show, actually.
Steve's in his element this week because with his background in motorsport engineering from the wonderful Abertawe University, as we have to call it now.
I did read that.
I have no issue with that. I am perfectly fine with that. Well, is it the Brennau, isn't it? They're calling.
Yeah, I never actually went up to
the Breckens. No, I didn't. I was very bad. I literally the furthest I went out of Cardiff when I lived there was Caerphilly, and did some sheep worrying on a quad bike somewhere outside Merthyr.
Oh, that's sketchy in itself. As you risk your life,
that's not as bad as it sounds. Honest.
The most Welsh, stereotypical Welsh thing you could ever do is sheep and quad bikes.
What, being on a quad bike, yeah. In the rain, on very steep hills.
If there was ever a bingo card, you've just got a full house instantly.
Only the Welsh bingo card. And I've seen international rugby.
Wow.
Anyway. Dear, we're hitting all the marks tonight. Yeah, so cool. More of that. Because also, dear listener, if you don't already know, Stephen and I both went to Welsh universities, even though we're both technically English.
Well, there is no technically about it. I mean, I am. I am.
And yet.
And yet. Wait, there's more. but,
though,
yeah.
Though I will maintain that Cardiff is better at the varsity than you, because they kicked your ass every single year I was there.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Cardiff is a wonderful place.
Whereas where you live is called the Sticks. Shall we talk about Assetto Corsa? Actually, let's not. Let's talk about some stuff that isn't massively important at the minute, which is that the F123 closed. And I'll call it a beta. I know some people call it a beta. But there's not two E's in it, so it's beta. Applications are now open. That's pretty much my response, yes.
Wait, so you have to apply to play the beta?
Mm.
Or beta, whichever yes. you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
So you can be denied to play and help out?
Yeah, but it's only the beta, so beta. Goodness me.
But what I'm saying is that you could be having all the best intentions to want to move the franchise forward and help uh-huh. with whatever, and you were denied because of some other esport team that wanted to monopolize the game.
Might be a little cynical. I'm not saying I'm not saying you're not wrong, and based on how previous F1 titles have come out, I think it's good that they're doing it. It depends, obviously, how much. It depends what valuable feedback they get. I think there's a lot they need to do to make F123 not rubbish.
I feel like F1 games are turning into FIFA-esque games. Like, you know, you'll buy it because you bought the last one and nothing has changed apart from some car skins or people's kit.
I mean, they even have the EA tag now, so you know.
Okay.
At least... And it's funny, actually, isn't it? Because, of course, EA doesn't have the rights to FIFA anymore after however many decades it's been. So they're calling it FIFA FC this year.
Oh, fair enough.
FIFA.
So they lost FIFA and gained F1. That's good marketing from Liberty Media.
If you want to attempt to take part, you must sign up for the EA playtesting program with an EA account. And select an F1 session Friday. Entries close this Friday. So tomorrow as this airs, or 2 days as we are now.
I'm not sold on this.
Like I said, I'm glad they're doing it. I think it's a bit... I mean, it'd be interesting to... Well, not that we'll know, find out, but I'm sure leaks happen because it's because of the internet. But I can't remember when they said that this was going to come out. I mean, I'm pretty sure it'll probably be midsummer, I imagine. But bear in mind, they're doing beta testing now, and it's basically May.
Wouldn't it come out in September, F123 or F1 games normally come out in September, don't they?
Maybe.
For the last, like, third of the F1 season.
Maybe. I don't Ish. Know.
But they seem to be getting early. I remember that sort of.
It's very annoying because visually they are pretty good, but I think, like we discussed not that long ago, I think we're at the point now where you kind of want them to either open the license up a bit so that they can have more cars on a much more simmy platform,
yeah,
or just make this more like Jeff Cramman's Grand Prix.
Yeah, I'd actually much rather a sim game or a game in general to have graphics as aged as like GTR 2 And but the depth of the sort of content and the like the amount of work gone in behind the scenes is subs up for the fact that the game doesn't look as pretty.
I'm not being funny, but look how many people still play Richard Burns Rally.
Exactly, because that game is so got so much depth to it.
Yeah, and the work that people have done to it to add more and more content to it, relevant content to it, contemporary content to it, in fact, is really quite awesome. And stages and all manner of things.
Exactly. So I'd much rather have like an F1 game that has like GP3, GP2. Is it GPU? Is it F2, F3? I don't know now, whatever they call it.
I think it's F2 and F3 on that kind of.
F4. Do you know what I mean? Like all of that sort of as an F1 game, so you can actually go properly up through the ladder and work through like your driver program and your contracts and stuff like that, and then simulate being fobbing off like three different teams when you go into F1 at the same time. I mean, that's like what you want to do, isn't it?
What do you mean, putting out a press release when a team says that you've signed for them, putting out a press release saying, I haven't signed for them?
Exactly. And then just going like Uno, literally just pulling out an Uno card and then going, ah, I'll go here.
I don't know. I know they've sort of toyed with a few different things to try and spice it up, but I think I don't know. I'm sort of at a loss. We can only wait and see what F1 23 brings to the table when it eventually arrives. I myself am saddened that I'm not more inspired by F1. I used to be for a very, very, very long time. But the last few, I'm just... Yeah.
See, the last proper F1 game I played was F1 2010 or 2011, because it was very, very basic in terms of... It was a little bit arcadey, but you could really, like, racecraft on it, if that makes sense. You could actually race. And it was just when they were bringing in all like your curves and things like that and all of that sort of stuff into a game. But you could actually, it was almost like learning how to race in like Formula 3 or something like that. That's how it kind of felt, just faster in the game. So when you wanted to go down the inside and actually like make a move on someone, you actually felt really satisfied that you were like lunging from like 50 meters back or something like that. But in other F1 games, it just feels really just bland. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It in my mind, it sort of runs counter to the explosive, dramatized view of the sport that DTS tries to put across.
Yeah.
It's just
in F1 2010, I felt like I was in like a Michael Bay movie. Whilst like trying to race, but like in other games, I thought I was.
Everything in those early Codemasters ones was so sepia. It was like it was kind of like, oh, what's the game called? What's New Vegas?
Oh, Fallout.
Yeah, the color the color palette is very Fallout.
Yeah,
which always bothered me a little bit because I don't know. I sort of wish they wouldn't be quite so clingy to how they use the license and let some other people do some awesome things with it. And because I'm not being funny, and I think there was a couple of polls on Twitter not that long ago that basically said that the best F1 experience is probably on a Assetto Corsa or AMS2.
And that's really worrying. If that's not like alarm bells for Codemasters and EA and always, you know, all these guys that have done these games, then that's not, I know, like they must be taking note of that, because if you're the official F1 game and you're not the best F1 game, well, that's kind of bad. There's no other way to describe it, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like the difference between FIFA and what was it called, Pro Evo Soccer. I think it was generally considered that Pro Evo was better. I think this is going back a while.
Yeah, you're a Pez or you're FIFA.
That's it. Yeah. And I think it was generally perceived that PES was a better game in terms of accuracy and stuff like that, but FIFA had all the licenses and all the colour and all the fireworks. So everybody bought FIFA, even though technically it was probably not the better game. But, you know. Yeah, anyway, so that's F1. If you want to get involved, head over to the EA testing program and give it a bash. Sort of sticking with F1, insofar as F1 did race there. Now, see, I know Jordan would be waxing lyrical about this, I can never remember how excited you are about this. But AMS2's historic Nürburgring is possibly releasing this weekend. This is the version of the circuit from 1971. And Razor
that does get me excited.
And Razor, I have to admit, I mean, I'm not, as you might know, I'm not a huge fan of the Nürburgring. But this classic version, however, looks amazing. I'm there for that, I think. And the nice thing about AMS2 as well is the fact that they have the car, the period relevant cars to run on it too.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about seeing videos of that sort of stuff and people doing classic races and sort of classic like period like matchups and things like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, the whole like Niki Lauda sort of esque stuff and all on that and them sort of things. But just don't, like, word of warning, just don't actually crash on Automa Blister because you will lose your hands if you're using a wheel because that force feedback is dead.
So I gather, not recently, but yes.
I remember crashing on that and having to literally realizing that I wasn't going to make the corner and just going, accepting my fate and just letting go of the uni's race sim and just going, well, God, take the wheel. Literally. Because the amount of force that went through that, I was like, yeah, I would have actually like lost fingers and that race sim would have had a criminal record after that, I think.
This, according to the developer, a tweet that was put out by the developer, the circuit has taken them nearly 2 years to put together. So
that's quite a long circuit, so I can believe.
And given the level of accuracy that they tend to put into their circuits as well, I'm not overly surprised. One of the tweets they put out, it was basically a road sign showing the Nordschleife and Südschleife. So that could be interesting. You could end up getting both circuits. I assume they probably will get both circuits. But this will be part of the already released Nürburgring pack, available for $9.99. It's also included in the season pass as well, so I already get it. That's good. The reason that it was originally delayed was that they wanted to add the Südschleife into it.
That's very cool.
So there you go.
Add it again, like make a new thing.
Oh, it's epic. That's so cool. So the original Nordschleife in 71 was a bit longer than the version we have today. Or Südschleife is about 4 and a bit miles. And obviously everything that goes with it, it'll have the full AMS work over in terms of how it will look, and you know it will be period accurate and everything. So I think it's gonna be brilliant. It's gonna be cool. I will actually try that. I genuinely will actually try that.
Do you think the barriers, because they just look like wooden fences and mesh fencing, are they going to be actually are they actually going to be hard that you'll bounce off them again, or are you going to go straight into like 7 postcodes at 200 miles an hour?
This is a very good question, and one to which I do not know the answer. I mean, deformable barriers have been a thing since a very long time.
That's what I mean.
That is a technical. That is a technical period of measurement. I'll have you know. Since the days of yore.
And like the dotting air has got like nothing to it, no guardrails or anything. So it's just like if you go off, do you just get lost in the trees and you proper Colin McRae, you have to Colin McRae your way back into?
I want to think so, but I don't know. I want to think so. I think that would be very cool.
I mean, you're going to have some catastrophic aeroplane accidents if
I have never completed in the whole time I have been sim racing. I have never completed a lap of the Nürburgring entirely unscathed ever.
And that's why we never teamed up in the 24 Hours of Nürburgring.
It's why I never competed in it. I would not wish. I would not wish that fate upon my teammates. I am not that mean. I will be driving around this very slowly for a couple of laps to understand it. Whereas you just know Jordan's going to be like, million miles an hour on the Nordschleife, yeah. Straight from...
Yeah, it's just all about flow. It's just all about flow.
I want to know how... He better tell us how long it takes for him to end up upside down.
Oh, about like 2 sectors into...
I have maintained that he needs to put a sponsor on the bottom of all of his cars that just has an arrow and "this way up" written on it.
No, he needs his own name on the bottom, like Woody.
Please return. If you can read this, something has gone awry. IMS, I have to say, they've done some amazing work recently. I really do need to sort of get back on and have a look and really sort of see what they've brought, because I mean graphically that looks, I can understand why it's taken them 2 years, because that just, it looks so good. You know, the grass looks like actual grass, the trees look amazing, it looks like a proper farmland scene. You, with a nice little road going through it, you just happen to know that that's the Nordschleife. Which is,
I mean, it does look terrifying, which is quite rightly so.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it does, which is good.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that one. I'll have to see if, I don't know if Hindy's got AMS too, but I think he needs to get it so he can try these sort of things out, because it'd be quite something. Right. We are going to quickly talk, so we're trying to get through news so we can get through to the big juicy bits of news. A new GSI, so Gomez of Sim Industries brought out I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, a sort of an entry-level wheel called the X29, which looks like the Formula, like a screenless Formula wheel. I mean, I would say it kind of reminds me of the sort of wheels they used to have, like the McLaren used to have in kind of the very like late 90s, early noughties. So you've got your rotary dials on there, you've got a nice load of buttons and stuff, but obviously no screen.
They're like proper Formula One like steering wheels. I don't like the ones that are nowadays. I like the ones that have got like your 3 traction controls and that's it, sort of like in the centre.
I would like rotary dials on the or some extra rotary knobs on the side of the wheel, because I'd like to use those for brake bias and things like that when I'm on track. And apparently, I think I remember seeing a tweet saying that GSI were possibly going to have another version of this, which might well include that on it, which would be quite cool. So now Asher are doing their version of the Artura wheel. They're doing 3 versions of that, one of which has that kind of setup. So that's very cool. The X29 is going to be $650 dollary dues. So at current exchange rates, that's about £4,500. No, it's probably about £500, give or take, which I think for a GSI wheel is extremely good. You that should get me, one, mate.
That makes me cry about how expensive sim racing is as a hobby. That makes
I'm
me
not
cry.
Being funny, but every single wheel I look at is usually 1,500 quid north.
Oh.
But you pay your money, you get your choices, don't you?
Exactly.
It's why I'm not on it. Well, I mean, I'm not on anything at the moment, but obviously that's why Fanatec kind of like lost my business in a way, because the wheels they're producing were middling expensive and a couple of very expensive, but I wouldn't have said that they were kind of as fundamentally good as or well made as some of these ones. So, you know, when you think you can buy an actual Cosworth wheel that's actually used in the LMP2, literally just that wheel, and put and use it on your PC, why would you not?
Yeah, I want that now. No. That's done. I want that even just on my mantelpiece.
Oh, yeah, except you wouldn't want the price. You wouldn't want the price tag for it, though.
I'll take four.
And it's the same price as a car. No, it's not quite that bad. Pre-orders for the X29 start on the 1st of May on the Gomez Sim Industries website. So if you're interested in that wheel, head on over. I have to admit, it is pretty good. It is pretty good. It's I don't know whether they do. So they do options with some of their other screened wheels and stuff like that. They have different coloured just colour packs to kind of go with them. You could get a Tony Kanaan one, which obviously had the kind of lovely green and yellow that is intrinsically linked with him. This one is predominantly a black and grey scale with 10 LED pushlet buttons, a couple of multi-switches and rotary encoders. So you have got the lighting and stuff. But yeah, so have a look. I'll be putting this off because I know like Ben's going to be like, talk about it! Talk about it! So I'm not going to talk about it yet. Ride 5 Special Edition includes early access to the game, as is pretty much the case these days, and a season pass.
Hooray!
The Standard Edition is looking like it's going to be $69.99. That's expensive these days, I'm not going to lie. The Special Edition coming in at £95.
Ooh, games are getting expensive now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. So for the Special Edition, you get you get the Far East pack, the Rebel pack, which is where you have a BMW X-Wing or something. You get the full season pass, so future packs and everything, and 3 days of early access to the game. It's going to be coming out on PC, yes. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, X and S. On the 24th of August, which means obviously the Special Edition is technically available from the 21st of August. I'm not going to lie, it looks good. Visually, there's been a massive update. The trailer for it was brilliant. The Digital Standard Edition and Special Edition... the Far East come with the Far East pack. The Far East pack contains only two bikes now. Ride 5, generally speaking, as they move on, their packs are pretty cheap, but you normally get like three or four bikes in them. This one's only coming with two, which is the Kawasaki Z900, which I know some people who would be very excited about that bike, and a Suzuki TL1000R Racing Modified 1998, which is fundamentally the race bike from the late 90s, which is also very nice. No information as to what's in the Rebel pack, but I'm going to assume it's probably Naked's. That doesn't mean the same thing as you think it does. Get your heads out of the gutter. So that's Ride 5. We are now going to talk about motorsport games. Because just today, yesterday, for those who are listening, Dmitry Kozko nothing to do with the shop, has left as CEO, with Stephen Hood now stepping into that role. Can't help but think this is a bit of a poison chalice.
A motorsport game, yes it is.
Costco said, with motorsport games continuing to focus on creating great racing games, you haven't created any. It just makes sense for someone with Steven's experience to be at the helm. Therefore, I believe MSGM has a good chance of to finally turn around and give fans great experiences. Or any experiences.
I mean, they have made great games. If you want to associate a great game as motorsport games identifying themselves as Pac-Man and just gobbling up all of the licenses so no one else can have them, then yeah, it's a great game.
The thing is that, no, they've inherited some great games. They haven't made them.
Yeah.
This is the difference. So I thought I recognised that. So Stephen Hood was at Codemasters for 6 years. He then went to MSG as president between 2019 and last year. And has even worked on the SimGrid. So it's an intriguing time. For motorsport games, it's you know,
we'll see what direction he will take them in, if that makes sense.
I'm not being funny, but having I worked at Codemasters on the F1 games doesn't jump out on his CV as something I'm particularly enthused by, but you know, given our previous conversation,
yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, I did this, okay, cool. Enjoy.
Yeah, if he manages to turn this around, he'll, you know, he deserves to be deeply applauded for his efforts. It's a mess out there, which has obviously been, you know, we've talked about on this show. Certainly Ben and Lewis have talked about on this show a lot. I'm reticent to be optimistic at this point. Very lot of long words for this time of the evening. But we will see. I think it's for me personally, I think it has a hint of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic a bit, but you know. But we will see. So yeah. And one last thing, friend of the show, David Perel, has launched a pretty cool, actually, this is quite, should be up your street, Stephen. One of many things that should be up your, oh no, how do I rephrase this? You're going to like this.
Okay.
That's probably a little bit better way of putting it. David Perel is launching Sim Trader, which is basically going to be a classifiers website to consolidate all the, so obviously if you want to buy any sim racing gear at the minute, you can go to, well, name your sort of reselling site and you can probably find some. The legitimacy of such entries obviously is usually up for debate. So David's decided that setting up the simtrader.com is the best way to ensure that people have the best opportunity to get the sort of equipment that they're after.
I like that a lot. That is something that probably should have been done years ago, but someone hasn't done it. So now I'm really glad that this actually has been done. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sort of just having a very, very quick scan down the sort of things there. So you can get a custom Lamborghini GT3 replica wheel for $750. Acertec SimSports Forte racing pedals for $525. A Bruno Spengler signed Fanatec M4 GT3 wheel for £1,400, which I think is actually slightly less than it actually sells for at retail.
I mean,
and it's signed by Bruno Spengler.
I'm in.
Yeah. You and me both.
Send me the link. I'm in.
And there's, you know, there's people starting to put rigs on there as well, various bits and bobs. A few pedals, a number of wheels are starting to appear on there. A lot of people selling Fanatec CSW 2.5 wheel. I mean, not surprising considering that is the last great belt-driven wheelbase in existence. I miss mine. But there is a Precision Sim Engineering LM Pro wheel on there for $1,400, which is probably about right. My, someone could get quite in trouble if they keep looking at that website.
So you can spend a lot of money very, very quickly on some...
Oh, yes.
Good second-hand gear.
Oh, yes. It's an excellent idea. I think, you know, because obviously certain search engines are your friend initially, and then you go to, let's say, you know, Facebook Marketplace or eBay or Gumtree, blah, 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 blah. Whereas having a centralized place for all of these, and I believe it's free to sign up and free to advertise on as well, which is brilliant. So I think that actually adds a very good option. Because then you just go there.
Yeah, I like that. Hats off to David Perel for doing that.
Yeah, he wants to make sim racing. I mean, when he came on the show, he said he wants to make sim racing as accessible as possible. And I totally commend him for that. And he's absolutely true. And him and I share a lot of similar opinions about how, you know, sim racing should be going, and I think Sim Trader is a brilliant concept, and I really, really hope it succeeds. So, yeah, head on over. It's thesimtrader.com to have a look. See, or if you've got kit that you want to share with, or, you know, pass on to other sim racing people, head on over there and get listed. Just not me, because I'm not. I really, really shouldn't.
You've got too much as it is.
Right, we're 40 minutes into the show, 20 minutes left, and now we're going to get a bit technical. This is the bit that Steve's been looking forward to for a good portion of the evening so far. So, Assetto Corsa Competizione, the 2023 GT World Challenge DLC came out today, as recording on the 19th, I've had a very, very super quick run around Valencia with the Ferrari and the Lambo in particular, just to see what they're like, and they're very nice. Very, 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 very nice. And Valencia is a brilliant circuit. I'd actually forgotten how good it is on four wheels. But I think the main thing, really, because it's all very nice, and of course we'll get some more liveries and whatnot as the season progresses. But ACC is now in version 1.9, and with that came a lot of physics updates. So we need an expert in motorsport engineering to talk to us about how all these changes to the game, what they mean in reality. So Steve's been poring over a PDF that he's received talking about all this. So what have you got, mate?
Right. First off, expert is... Yeah.
I did do it in air quotes.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. expert at guesswork, and hopefully it sticks, is kind of how it works. So a set of course that has 1.9 update, and they've gone absolutely mental on tires. So they haven't got tired of doing tires, which is great, because everyone seems to overlook tires, because everyone thinks that aerodynamics is the best thing ever and engines is the best thing ever. However, you're wrong. It's tires. tires and suspension and vehicle dynamics is where it's at.
Or as our good friend Hindy always used to say, and the tires.
Exactly. It's just tires, because you only have four contact patches about the size of your palm of your hand that separate you and St. Peter. So, yeah, that in relative thing, you can have the best tires, the best engine, driver and everything. If you can't put it down the road, you're completely useless. So any opinion, I respect it, but you're wrong. It's tires. It's the best thing ever. But yeah, so they decided they were going to do more of the like how the tire generates heat in like off of the road, and more how it reacts with like your driving and how precise you want to drive it. So if you want to absolutely rag the hell out of it, which is all well and good to try and generate heat, but you're going to take it out of its sort of window too quickly. So then you can gain, or you can try and get it to up to temperature, but you're going to take it over the past of its operating window. And mm-hmm. then that's not going to do very well for you trying to do a one lap wonder around Silverstone or something like that, which is really quite high graining and things like that. So, my question for you, Matt, is how has your opening sort of reactions to this has gone? Because it's all well and good me talking about how it is, but what does it feel like?
I would say, so I had Valencia set relatively warm, so track temp was quite hot, you know, relatively high to start with, middle of the day. You always get a fairly slidey-ish, unsettled opening lap, obviously because the tyres aren't up to temp, but by lap three in each car you could feel the grip, that you know, the mechanical grip was there, with more confidence on braking and more confidence on initial turn in to corners. I won't lie, I wasn't massively paying attention to how the temps were moving around, but from what I sort of garnered and from various bits I've watched and read, is the there's more of a focus on not just the surface temp of the tires, which obviously is incredibly important, but also the core temperature of the tire as well, and how those are altering in different environmental impacts. By obviously they're going to react differently when they're on a straight, and there's no, and all the wear is fairly even through them as opposed to hard cornering or what have you.
Yeah, exactly. So with you saying that, it's what they've drilled into is the fact that core temperature of the tire is just as important as you like scrubbing the surface of the tire to gain tire temperature. So in previous like games and also like Assetto Corsa, you'd try and just, you know, put too much or over steering lock in to try and scrub the surface of the tire to gain a bit of tire temperature, but now you can actually finally warm the brakes up, which then warms through the carcass of the tire, which is really cool, which then evens out a consistent even like tire temperatures. They've also put in more suspension and damper characteristics, so like the tire itself now has damper characteristics, which I love because that was my dissertation in university, tire stiffness and damping. So actually reading that it is in a game makes me really, really happy.
So for a layman, what that basically is, and this, I say I am the layman here, that is to say, obviously, the damping that you receive in the car through the suspension, but then also through the flex and air pressure within the tire itself, creating an additional suspension force.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So different tire sizes. So when Formula One went from the 13 inch tire to the 18 inch rim, the tire sidewall got smaller, like massively smaller. So
I would assume, therefore, a lot stiffer.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the sidewall of the tyre got massively stiffer, but also they had to counter that because of the high aero forces to counter that into the actual suspension and damping of the actual car, like mechanical grip.
Mm-hmm.
So having those in the game in Assetto Corsa is really cool, because now you can feel what's happening through the sidewalls of your tyres, and when you actually turn in, as well through force feedback as well, which they've upgraded as well to put into in line with that. So you can feel that when you're in, for example, a Porsche 911 and you're ragging the hell out of it, and all of a sudden the rear of your car is trying to overtake you because you have a massive pendulum because the engine's in the right place. Compared to a front engine Mercedes, and in the same corner, you'll feel massively different through there because of the sidewalls of those tyres with the weight distributions and things like that. Yeah, I could go on forever with this.
Which is fine, that's the whole point.
Would I be correct
in saying that, so if you, just going back to what you said about the Formula One tyres, and I mean, I know obviously GT3 racing generally uses a stock tyre, etc., but are we going to perhaps see where people have moved from the previous version of the game to 1.9, the characteristics of a car passing over a particularly rough curb, for instance, given the stiffness of the tyre, etc., they're going to have to make modifications to their suspension settings to now account for the fact that you're getting either more or less dampening effect through the tyre than you were previously. Would that be a correct assumption?
Absolutely, because everyone's setups now are useless.
Marvellous.
everyone is now starting again from base zero because, and I have to hold my hand up to a, and I'm not going to name him, a Bentley Motorsport driver who I basically was like, well, you know, stop moaning. Because in the game they had, the original Assetto Corsa had the suspension carried on compressing after it went past its original bump stops. I didn't know this. So when he was complaining that the car wasn't handling like his original Bentley would in around Monza, I was like, yeah, no, it won't. But actually, it's because of Assetto Corsa had this flaw in it. Now it doesn't have the flaw. So now only the bump stops kick in at 20 to 30 millimeters maximum. After that, you're going to go past the, you're going to quickly go past the lateral grip of that tire, the slip angle of the tire.
Right.
And you're going to be just sliding a lot. So be careful when you hit curbs now, because your suspension is not going to like you. You have to actually not, unless you're driving a super touring car, you can't hit curbs hard anymore.
Which realistically, yeah, probably shouldn't be anyway. Not driving a super touring car, they're awesome. We love super touring. But yeah. Because you don't really see GT cars monstering curbs in that kind of way anyway, really.
No, not.
And obviously this is for very good reasoning.
Good reason, exactly, because of this reason. Because once your suspension hits the bump stops, it can't go anymore.
Mm.
So all that force then has to go back. It's got to go somewhere, because you're putting it vertically. It has to go, it's energy, it has to go somewhere. So once you overload the amount that you're going to put through that tire, it's just going to give up. It's just going to slide. It's just going to just be horrible to you. So yeah, I'm extremely happy they've finally done this in Assetto Corsa and tied up all things like how dampers react to curbs, dampers and suspension reacts to suspension, dampers react to they react to aerodynamic balance and things like that as well. So what you can do now is you can bottom out your car a lot when you go through high loading as well. because of how these are now all reacting with each other. So you have to now balance out your stiffness to aerodynamic loading when, for example, when you're going down, say, the start-finish straight of Monza, and you put too much loading through a particular front or rear of your car with too much aerodynamics, or, for example.
So how would that affect, for example, the compression at Paddock Hill or at the foot of Eau Rouge? Or take Eau Rouge is probably a great example, because you've got a compression and then almost the complete opposite as you come out into Radeon.
Yeah. So the compression of Eau Rouge, you see like the night shots at Spa 24 where they're all sparking and mm-hmm. this, that, and the other, mm-hmm. On the I think it's the rear left side, if I remember correctly. So as, because they're pretty much doing that flat out with a bit of a lift, depending on how much you had for breakfast, your car is completely loaded on that one, that left side, because you're trying to get that line to go up through the apex of Eau Rouge into Radeon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a sense of you're trying to get the aero balance to load that side, if that makes sense, and then you're trying not to make the car become one with the track, because when that happens, when you make a car become one with Holy Matrimony with the track, it doesn't turn, it doesn't do anything.
Well, and also you'll lose all the diffuse. Aero, the diffuser is completely exactly. useless then, isn't it?
Yeah. So you become like aero washout, and you have nothing. And that's where you go, like, for instance, straight on. Mm-hmm. And then you have an aeroplane accident.
It's going to be...
The opposite of that is then at Radeon, where you're cresting and still, and then you're doing the right hand, you're turning right onto that. And then you're basically trying not to make your car turn into an aeroplane.
Mm.
In a sense.
It is going to be really interesting to see how these changes sort of... Obviously, everyone's going to have their very initial reactions based on... I'm not passing any judgment on what I've experienced so far, because I've literally done like 3 laps in each car just to be able to say... It sounded amazing. It looked great. The Alcantara and the Lamborghini, I could literally stroke my screen if I wanted to. So damn good. silly thing, but you know what I mean? Just to get a feel of how the car comes to life over a very, very quick course of laps, with quite hefty cornering loading, because again, I'm using a pad so at the minute, so obviously the cornering is not completely representative of how it would be experienced by many other people. But give it a couple of weeks and get it some use into some other series, it's going to be really interesting to see how people can compare this to other simtars. I maintain Assetto Corsa Competizione is the best place to compete with GT cars. I think iRacing comes in very close, slightly under joint first in my book. But I just think the way that ACC has gone about producing these cars and developing them over the course of the last couple of years is just amazing.
If I can have like 10 laps of data from you, Matt, at some point in any car, so I can just put it onto Motec and have a play to see what actually is the difference from about 3 years ago's Assetto Corsa from when I was doing lots of work on it.
Well, scarily, I am, because our good friend Don Armand is running the London Marathon this weekend. I know. Good luck to him. He's done a lot of training. He's very, very committed. I think he needs to be committed. But, you know, that's a... I'll say that for anyone who does the marathon. So we will put up any links to follow him over the weekend as well, actually, because I know he'll love everyone's support with that. So he's actually not doing a stream tomorrow on Thursday, or as this airs. He's not doing a stream this evening. So after the stream is finished, as you're listening to it, people, you can jump over to Twitch and I might be turning some laps of this just for a bit of fun. So there might be you might be able to come over and see that, which would be hilarious because I say I'm on a pad. Actually, I'm going to be trying my car as well because it turns out that they've actually updated the AMG GT3 to effectively Evo 1.5 as well. So it's got a wealth of new upgrades, handling updates, and subtle aerodynamic changes as well to mean that the car is a lot more drivable straight out of the box. Or as you very politely put it pre-show, a bit less boaty.
That's a technical term.
It is. And we used to say that about the SLS all the time.
Exactly. So... that is a technical term because that thing was a rocket ship in around Daytona. However, yeah. The inboard, it was very boaty.
Very boaty, yes. This one is not so much. It's a pretty good weapon, I have to say. I think Shulgun on at Alton Park would say just as much. So very pleased to see that's happening. I think we should have the 720S GT3 Evo coming, as well as obviously the GT2 stuff in due course as well. Obviously, you know, we'll keep you guys updated through our channels as we sort of discover more about these... the changes to ACC, this is a massive update. There's no two ways about it. This is a huge update for ACC, and it seems like it's been quite positively received, which is awesome. Oh, actually, speaking of marathons, you did you completed a 10K last weekend, did you not?
I did on Sunday, yeah. I did indeed. I did the Lincoln 10K.
Congratulations. That's very up. Oh, no. Is it flat or uppy downy? Because there are hills.
It was very flat, thankfully, because I did it around the cathedral.
Because I know of at least one hill in Lincoln, but that's about it.
It's the hill. It's called Steep Hill. It's literally what it's called.
Yes. A friend of mine has been down it in a trolley. That's a story for another time.
Yeah.
But yes, cool. Well, would you believe it? It's nearly time to end the show. I know you and I could geek out about the technicalities of what's going on with this. And do you know what? Off air, we sure as heck will. Dear listener, you can of course catch us on Twitter at Simcast Radio using the hashtag SimcastRSL, and you can talk to Steve, myself, Ben, Lewis, and everybody involved with this wonderful show. I think even Don's there now, at the Radio Show Listeners Collective on Facebook. Steve's off to go and enjoy his PDF, and I'm preparing the tissues for the final episode of Star Trek Picard Season 3. I think it's going to be a biggie. The episode, nothing else. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast, wherever you get your podcasts.